Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting, The Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Hey, this is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and this happens to be episode number 490 of The Next Step. We are in Armenia, in Sasnashen, in Tallinn, in northern Armenia, doing some projects, and we're taking a break, giving you a chance to kind of catch up and giving us a chance to breathe. Today's episode is called Super Weird Interstellar Jesus. It's a short little piece that we did back in 2014. Thought it had some interesting ideas in there that I'd like us to revisit. It was based on an article that appeared in Wire magazine and upon a very popular movie that came out right around then called Interstellar. So here it is for you, sort of like a best of The Next Step, and I'll be back with you on the other end of this broadcast. Okay, I promised you last week that we would go interstellar, we'd go out there, okay? And this is not about science, it's not about space exploration, but it's about our theories that we have about love, and that's where I want to tie in. But first of all, I have to preface it with a few words of where this is coming from. In this month's edition of Wired magazine, there was an interesting article about this new movie that's coming out called Interstellar, and it's supposed to open up tomorrow. It's from Paramount Pictures. We'll put some information on our show notes about it, and definitely a link to this article that I was fascinated by. It looks at how do you create a black hole experience. Obviously, black hole is a theory, right? And it's a place where gravity is so intense that it even bends light. Let me read to you a couple paragraphs from this, and then we'll go into what we're talking about here on The Next Step, namely different metaphors, different ways that we can express love, and that idea of how do you forgive even your enemies. This has been foremost in our ministry, that some of the most impossible things that Jesus talks about are really possible when we can explore and find new icons, find new iconography, can find new ways of explaining these things that go beyond the definitions that we have. Obviously, when Jesus says, you have heard that you will love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, this is probably one of the most difficult things that a Christian is confronted with, way beyond all the other stuff that they tell you about, that so many people will tell you, you have to love Jesus, you have to do that. Well, if you're going to love Jesus, you have to, first of all, understand who he is, and in understanding him, you understand that his commandments are way over the top. They're what we're going to call super weird. And that word comes to us from this article. So let me share with you some ideas from the article first, and then go into this discussion about love, about forgiveness. I am going to directly quote out of this magazine article. It is called Wrinkles in Space-Time, The Warped Astrophysics of Interstellar. And Interstellar, of course, referring to this new movie that's coming out. It is by Adam Rogers. It appears in Wired magazine, October 2014. Now, let me just share with you right off the top. Okay, it says Kip Thorne looks into the black hole he helped create and thinks, why, of course, that's what it would do. This particular black hole is a simulation of unprecedented accuracy. It appears to spin at nearly the speed of light, dragging bits of the universe along with it. That's gravity for you. Relativity is super weird. In theory, now that emphasis is mine, just remember that, in theory, It was once a star, but instead of fading or exploding, it collapsed like a failed souffle into a tiny point of inescapable singularity. A glowing ring orbiting the maelstrom seems a curve over the top and below the bottom simultaneously. All this is only natural because weird things happen near black holes. For example, their gravity is so strong that they bend the fabric of the universe. Einstein explained this: the more massive something is, the more gravity it produces. Objects like stars and black holes do this so powerfully that they actually bend light and pull space and time with it. And it gets weirder. If you are closer to a black hole than I was, our perceptions, as another emphasis I'm putting, just like I put on theory, perceptions of space and time would diverge. Relatively speaking, time would seem to be going faster for me. Now, what does Thorne see in there? He's an astrophysicist. His math guided the creation of this mesmerizing visual effect, the most accurate simulation ever of what a black hole would be. It's the product of years of work by 30 people and thousands of computers. And alongside a small galaxy of Hollywood stars, and they name off these stars that are there, the simulation plays a central role in Interstellar, the prestige space travel epic directed by Christopher Nolan, opening November 7th. Thorne sees truth. Nolan, the consummate image maker, sees beauty. Black holes, even fictional ones, can warp perception. Okay. Now, why did this article intrigue me? Okay, here I am talking on the next step. We talk about ethics, we talk about religion, we talk about spirituality. But most importantly, what does all of this lead us to? It leads us to peace. Obviously, I've said many times, the whole purpose of religion is to give us that structure by which we can communicate on a level of the divine. And what is the divine but that peaceful state? Some people may want to call it nirvana. Others will call it the kingdom of God. They will take temporal metaphors for it. But unfortunately, throughout the years, we've never come up with an idea of what is that perfect state of peace. Because our dictionary, our vocabulary, is filled with terms of violence, which is counterproductive to the end goal of peace, right? I mean, we talk today about getting peace. We're seeing in the world situations that arise, especially right now with ISIS. And what is our response to it? Well, hit them with violence. And we keep saying violence begets violence, and we speak of this in very cliche manner because we don't have the vocabulary to take us into the next level. Jesus comes along and he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And we can't understand that. How could I possibly love my enemies? Dr. Martin Luther King, he says it so beautifully. He says, I'm glad Jesus said, love your enemies and not like your enemies, because I cannot love somebody who's trying to kill me, who's trying to kill my children, who's setting my house on fire. How could I possibly like that individual? But when I come to the divine love, that's a different issue. And certainly that divine love, which Jesus speaks so beautifully about, eloquently about, we must be able to throw into that category of, well, the super weird. It is super weird. What do you mean, love your enemies? How can I possibly love somebody who's inflicted pain upon me, who's inflicted suffering upon me, who's killed and raped and pillaged my homeland, my people? How can I possibly do that? And so we get confounded because we don't have the structure. We don't have the infrastructure in place. We don't have the vocabulary to be talking in these terms. Well, what did they do for this film called Interstellar? They needed to present the black hole. Well, how can you possibly talk about a theory and present it on a big screen? Several years ago, there's one of my favorite movies. It was called Contact. If you haven't seen that, do check it out with Jodie Foster. Incredible. It's not about space. Although the premise is space exploration, it is not about space. It's about religion. It's about faith. It's about believing in things that you may not understand. And so we get to this point of talking about Interstellar, and we talk about black holes in terms of theory, but how could you possibly understand it? So they've created this black hole experience on screen, and I can't wait to see it. I want to see it because I want to see what the human imagination comes up with. Now, can we apply that to our own circumstances in our discussion of peace, in our discussion of love, of loving enemies? It is super weird, right? It is super weird. Just like a black hole. What do you mean it bends light? And what do you mean it bends time? It distorts time. I can't understand that. I mean, all of us live in this temporal existence. We're going from place point A to B. In our lifetimes, right, we are born and then we die, and so we've got this continuum that starts off at one date and goes to another date. And this is our understanding of life. This is how our brains perceive it. And it is along a line. It's analytical. It's an analog equation, right? It goes from one point to the next point. And along the way, there's all kinds of twists and turns, but eventually it's basically a line. It could be twirling around, but it's a line from one point to the other point. But what if we were to talk about space exploration? How do you go to the nearest star, for instance? Well, if you were to travel in a straight line with all of the givens that we have, space and time, it's impossible to reach the next star. I believe just to go to Mars, it's a six-month venture to go there, right? In 6 months, a lot of stuff happens. And once you get there, you've got to figure out what you're going to be doing, another 6 months to come back. That's just in our regular real-time adventure. How about to some of the other planets? You're talking about years before you can get to another planet. Now, talk about going to the next star where there possibly can be some life form there. I believe the closest star that we have to us is about 4.5 light years away. And there's no proof or not even a suspicion that there might be life forms around the circling planets. But let's say 4.5 light years. That means at the speed of light, which we're not even close to. 186,000 miles a second is the speed of light. And what do we travel? A few thousand miles per hour? You know, and that's the way we do interstellar transportation. Well, I should say interplanetary transportation at this point, because I believe it was last year or the year before that Viking, one of the rovers that was sent out back in the 1970s, it took about 40 years for it to reach the end of our solar system, okay? So we don't have the means. You don't have a lifetime to spend to go to the next planetary system. If you were to do it according to the rules that we have set up. If you were going to do it in an analytical manner, if you were going to do it according to space-time as we know it, you would have to travel in a straight line. You'd point your rocket ship in the direction of that star and you'd say, okay, let's go, right? That's how we think about it. But now to get to the next planetary system, there are other ways. There are other means. One of which is a theory, again, is the wormhole, right? You go into this wormhole and you end up somewhere else. It's a theory, but it's a valid theory. It's based on scientific observations. It's based on theories that were built up through the centuries, including some of the earliest observations that were made, and continues, of course, today with that they said thousands of computers processing information and taking that information and putting it together, and you have these theories. Now, what I'm saying over here is when we talk about peace in our life, we've been talking along the same lines as space exploration has been talking about. We think of it as getting from point A to B. I'm in a chaotic situation right now. I want to find peace. I want to find justice. I want to see that there can be love in this world. Well, we go about it using all of the tools that we have and ignoring tools that may be out there. Now, George Orwell, who was, of course, famous for his one of my favorite epic stories that he has, 1984, he wrote back in 1946. He wrote an essay called Politics and the English Language. And in there, he argues that cliché language produces cliché thinking. Stale language makes it easy to have stale thoughts. This is George Orwell, 1946, he writes this. And I'll put a link on our show notes so you can read the entire essay. It's available online. Let me read that again, okay? Cliché language produces cliché thinking. Stale language makes it easy to have stale thoughts. Well, what does this all point to? Think about us within the church, within the body of Christ. What do? We always come up with the stale language. We come up with cliché language. And to tell you the truth, it is all cliché, isn't it? Love your enemies. That's a cliché. Just like love your neighbor. It's a cliché. What does that mean? What does that mean to love your neighbor? Well, Jesus says it beautifully. He gives us the example of the Good Samaritan, right? And what is the story of the Good Samaritan? There's a man going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's attacked by robbers. And he's left for dead on the street. And one person comes up and he says, God be with you. Another person comes up and says, too bad that this happened to you. And these are religious leaders. But a Samaritan, who is the person that you least likely to think will show compassion. Remember this, okay? The least likely. In other words, the theory. Not the reality, but the theory. The theoretical person that no way is he going to stop. The Samaritan stops and he helps this person. Not only helps and tends to his wounds, but he puts him up at a hotel and pays for the hotel and pays for his wellness. Something that you wouldn't expect. What was that word again? Super weird. What the Samaritan did was super weird. Jesus gives us a prototype for how you love your neighbor. Super weird. You go all out. I know. People don't talk about this stuff, do they? Right? They talk about, oh, you got to love Jesus. Well, you got to want to love Jesus? You've got to do the stuff that he's talking to you about. You've got to understand what he's saying. And it is super weird. It's super weird on our terms because I can't possibly think that I would see somebody on the end, suffering, dying on the end of the road and stop. And I could see myself stopping. I could see myself dialing for help, getting an ambulance there. But to pick that guy up, take him to a hospital, especially with hospital rates the way they are right now, especially with healthcare, what it's costing everything, going and throwing down my credit card and saying, okay, take care of this guy, and whatever the bill is, just please charge it to my account, and if I get overdrawn on my account, don't worry about it, I will take care of him until he is well. That's super weird. But that's what we're called to do. So maybe we're thinking about it in terms that we're not accustomed to. Just like light bending, just like that black hole bending, we haven't been able to move it from theory to reality. And that's why this article just caught my attention, because here's a group of people that are being challenged with that super weird and saying, wait a minute, we have to understand it. And maybe what they're going to present on the screen, I still haven't seen this movie, it comes out this weekend, but maybe what they're going to present is going to be super weird in itself, right? Okay, maybe it's going to be another theory, obviously another theory. Nobody's ever been inside of a black hole. No one's come that close to know exactly what the dynamics are there, but you could speculate about it. Now think about peace. Think about love. Think about loving your enemies. What are we missing? Are we living in that stale language? Are we living with that cliche language? Instead of really pushing ourselves to strike up those computers, to strike up the mental ability to live up to the stat challenge, and to push ourselves to start talking in terms that are unfamiliar to the masses, but something that will bring about that peace. When Jesus says, you are in this world, but you are not of this world, what does that mean? Now, being of this world means you have that ability to look beyond all that you see. And think about that for a moment. We have that ability as Christians, if you have love in your heart, to really be able to look beyond. Sometimes people come up and they say, look at that person, such an empty life. There's no spirituality. Do we have that right to look at somebody and say there's no spirituality, an empty life? When our lives need that analysis first and foremost, are we able to look at even that most emptiest of life and see the presence of God there? Because every person is created by God, is created in the image of God. Can we find that God inside of others? That in itself is a challenge. That's also super weird. So what I'm challenging you with today is, can we come up with a new metaphor? Can we come up with new language? Can we come up with a new vocabulary to incorporate peace, to talk about loving your enemies? So that when we're out there and we're talking about, you know, these big situations, you've got terrorists who are trying to bomb us, trying to kill us, and they're trying to see our destruction, that the only means of defense is not about just bombing them and exploding them, but really having that compassion, understanding sacrifice, and then synthesizing this all, bringing it all together, and saying that, you know, there is a better world that we can strive for, and it begins with me, with my understanding, with me walking in the shoes of others. Well, there you have it. Something a little bit different. If you're new to The Next Step, well, that's what we do. If you're kind of old, I think you kind of enjoyed that little refresher course. No matter what, we're looking forward to being back next week for a brand new edition of The Next Step, coming energized, rejuvenated, recharged from the homeland with so many stories to share with you. I hope you'll join us next week as we continue taking the next step. In the meantime, you can join us on all the socials. We are still connected, no matter where we are. So on behalf of the wonderful team who put together today's show, namely Susie, our producer in Armenia, and Ken sitting back in the Glendale studios, well, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
I forgot to ask you if you've seen the same sky as we are.